Hello, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltare, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. This is my YouTube channel where I focus on all things genealogy and travel. Right now, I'm focusing on mini biographies of these Fijian and trying my best to get to know them and understand where they came from and where they ended up. So that's kind of my virtual form of travel. I started this project under a year ago, actually. And it was just supposed to be my own girls, but it ended up kind of mushrooming and having people, ask me to do this one and that one. And then finally I said, you know what, I'm going to do them all and give them all their own dues. I also want to let you know that I have a website called Have Roots, Will Travel. And I also have an index on that as well. So you can look at all of the Fijian videos and click on the links, and I try to keep it up to date. And I also am on Facebook and Twitter. And also, if you need to email me, please email me at lisa@haveroots.will travel. You can also post a comment. All of the above would be awesome. So let's get started. For those new to the channel, I did produce a video called Les Fijian, the Program 2.0, in which I described the program, how it began, how it functioned. So I would urge you to look at that video just to get a sense of what your ancestor would have gone through. Let's see who is our Fijian of the week. Her name is Kathleen Bureau. She actually is a viewer's request. I do not have her in any of my files, so it was a treat to get to know Catherine. Let's find out where she's from. Catherine was born in 1651 in the 4th arrondissement of Paris, which, remember, arrondissement means like the circle, as Paris is in the circles. And her church was the Church of Saint-Jean-en-Grève. I just want to tell you that the Grève means, the word French grève refers to a flat area covered with gravel or sand situated on the shores of the banks of a body of water. So hence her church was Saint-Jean-en-Grève. So that would mean that the church probably was there. It's no longer there. But we have some illustrations of this bottom one. I found this this picture. It kind of illustrates where it would have been located. The top portion is an older style of Paris. And then we have on the upper left, the fourth arrondissement and what it contains. It's also called Île de la Cité and has been inhabited since the 1st century BC. Where it was occupied by the Gauls. And the right bank was first settled in the 5th century. So she comes from a very historic place in Paris. Her parents were Jacques Bureau and Marguerite Verrier. So Catherine takes the Saint-Jean-Baptiste and arrives in Quebec on June 30th, 1669. She's about 18 years of age, and she's carrying about 100 pounds, a dowry worth about 100 pounds. I do not know if her parents died. It does not state that in the records that I have, and so it is possible she just said, hey, I want this adventure. I need to build my own life, and this was her chance. The groom she selects and who selects her, his name was Étienne Corriveau, and he was born in 1643 in the commune or township of Fontclairaut in the province of Angoumois. And his parents were François Corriveau and Marguerite Bernard. As you can see, Fontclairaut is really inland. The upper left is a picture of Fontclairaut now. It's a very small village. And the church where he might have been baptized is on the middle. Probably dates from the 15th or 16th century. Now, we don't know how Etienne got to New France or why he, I don't think he was a soldier. He was probably an engagé and just kind of hopped on board and was there. And so on October 28, 1669, Catherine and Etienne were married on Île d'Orléans. She was given the king's gift of 50 pounds. So it's nice when there's an acknowledgement of that bonus. Not all the girls, even though there's 700 of them, there's like only about 200 or 300 where we actually know, there's actual proof that they got the bonus, you know? So they settle on Île d'Orléans. Those of you who are familiar with the channel know all about Île d'Orléans, but I always want to make sure that new viewers get that whole history of Île d'Orléans. It's located in the St. Lawrence River, east of downtown Quebec City, probably about 3 miles as the crow flies, as they say. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of the island. The island has been described as the microcosm of traditional Quebec and is the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials, actually, the name of Île d'Orléans was actually something else. It was called Grande-Île, it was called Sainte-Marie, it was called Saint-Laurent, and then finally, they changed the name to Île d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis, Henri, who was the Duke of Orléans. So that's how it got its name. In case you're researching and you see these different names, it is the same place. Early, as you can see on the bottom left, a friend of mine sent me that picture, and you can see the greenness, you can see the agriculture of that place. It was a truly self-sustaining island. In the bottom right picture, I think that's a fromagerie, one of those cheese places. It really is, a place that is kind of steeped in time and somewhere in time, and just kind of, you're traveling back in time when you go there. That's what I think. And I haven't been there, so this is number one on my bucket list, don't worry. The next year, this is what I plan on doing. And I also want to draw your attention to the upper part of the screen where you see the sections of Île d'Orléans. So it's important to know Saint-François, Saint-Famille, Saint-Jean, Saint-Pierre, Saint-Laurent, Saint-Pétronille. Those are sections, six parishes. It's important to know which parish your family was in, just so that you are looking for the right documents. Their firstborn Jacques married Henriette Françoise Gaboury and had three children, all of whom made it to adulthood. One of their children would become the Mother Superior of the Serafin Order. It's really remarkable. You could view her history as well. In his later years, he married the widowed Anne Madeleine Larchevêque. Catherine would die at the age of 30, unmarried. François would pass away at 1 year of age. Etienne first married Louise Françoise Gaboury, the sister of his brother Jacques' wife. She died in childbirth. And he then married Jeanne Rabouet, and they would have eight children, all eight of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre married Anne Gaboury, the sister of his brother Jacques' wife. And yes, that meant three brothers married three sisters. And they had six children, three of whom made it to adulthood. Jean married Françoise Élie and had eight children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. Guillaume married Marie-Françoise Meunier, and they had two children, both of whom made it to adulthood, before Guillaume's untimely death at 29. So that's a pretty strong family tree right there. So the family moves to La Durantaye, and by 1681, you can see the little snippet that I have there. Etienne Garibault is listed, and we have Jacques, Catherine, Etienne, Geneviève, and they own 10 arpents en valeur, which means about 7 to 8 acres of land. The history of La Durantaye is the seigneurie is established in 1672 by Governor Frontenac to Olivier Morel de La Durantaye, who was a captain in the Carignan-Sauternier Regiment. So that is La Durantaye and where they ended up. So you can see they kind of got off the island and went inland. So that's an interesting kind of trajectory. So there was a sudden death. Etienne would pass away. We cannot be sure when Etienne would die. The last record comes from 1686 to 1693. These dates come from records where he's not present or is listed as deceased. So we know by 1693, we know that he is no longer alive. So in true New France fashion, one man dies and another arrives. So the new husband's name? Simon Darme. He was born in 1644 in the very famous place of La Rochelle, France, and he arrived in New France in 1664. I do not know if he was a Carignan soldier. I suspect he was an engagé and was just, as far as I know, he was unmarried and took Catherine and her family upon himself. So I think that that's, a remarkable thing. So they were married on January 15th, 1695. So her and Simon would not have any children together. Catherine would pass away on August 7, 1707. She is buried at Saint-Michel-de-Jurancy in the cemetery there. She would have been about 56. So a very early departure for us. That's her death record as well. But by 1729, she would have 57 descendants. So I think that's remarkable as well. So I want to list the resources that I consistently use. La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan is an association that I'm a member of, and I'm also the membership chair, but I also used it even before I was a member. And I love, you know, my certificate that I got, and I'm planning on getting way more certificates with all my Filles du Roi. Just a marvelous resource to be able to use. They also publish a journal for members twice a year that is filled with really interesting and educational material. The second one I've just discovered is a Facebook group of the Filles du Roi descendants. Amazing. About 5,000 people, I think, are in that group. So definitely recommend that you check them out. And then the website that I use consistently is Amigacation, but it really should be called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Filles du Roi. It's got the Filles du Roi, it's got the soldiers, it's got the ships, it's got things about France, it's got pictures. Like I say to everybody, every time I go into there, I actually dive into a rabbit hole and discover more about this website. So truly a phenomenal effort. And I've listed all the addresses for you to explore. So with that, we end another biography of a Filles du Roi. I want to thank Catherine Bureau for her efforts. She died at a young age, at 56. But, you know, she was a pioneer on Île d'Orléans, and she was a pioneer at La Durantie as well. She was able to have that many descendants by 1729, and certainly the viewer that requested her is part of that long history. So the fact that she existed makes it possible for so many others. So for that, we thank her. And we salute her efforts. And until then, I bid you adieu and au revoir until we meet again on the next episode.